This is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.
Hello, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Good to talk to you today.
Hi. Yeah, you're currently on URN. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm in Canada, and I'm getting ready to go to New York City and then to come over to begin touring overseas in Ireland, in Israel first, then Ireland, and throughout England.
Yeah, I wouldn't confuse Israel and Ireland, if I'm honest with you.
They're quite a bit different, yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be your first time touring the UK. Why haven't you come before?
Well, I have performed there before. I just haven't done a full tour. I performed at the Greenwich Festival in London, and I also performed at the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland. So I love performing over there, and I kind of go where the wind takes me a little bit. I've been, performing pretty much constantly in the United States and Canada. I've done a few tours in Australia and New Zealand, but it wasn't until last year I kind of asked that same question myself, and I said, I really want to come over and do a full tour of England. So I made some phone calls and I made it happen.
So have you ever been to Nottingham before?
I have never been to Nottingham before, so I'm looking forward to that.
You are in for a treat.
Yes, absolutely. What is the treat that I'm? What am I going to get to see there? That is going to be something that you would suggest that I do.
That's a very good question. Well, this is of course Robin Hood land. So always go to Sherwood Forest or Nottingham Castle, all sorts of places.
Absolutely.
So your comedy can be described as quite weird, or at least your movies and TV shows definitely can be. What can we really expect from your stand-up?
Definitely there'll be some weirdness in there, for sure. It's not going to be a show that you walk out of and say, there was nothing weird that happened tonight. it is a stand-up comedy performance where I'm talking about social and political and personal commentary that I'm making comments on all sorts of things that everybody can relate to as well. So I like to definitely approach comedy in a out of the box fashion. And there's a lot of absurdity in there as well. So it's a pretty high energy show. I do a lot of interaction with the crowd and it's a lot of fun. So I think the one thing I'd say is, if you're somebody that doesn't know my work from the past, you're still going to really love this show. This is not a show that's just geared towards my fans. It's actually a universal comedy performance that is really funny for everybody.
Oh, that sounds excellent. So you mentioned social commentary. You are one of the people who has been fired by Donald Trump, which as of this week puts you in the company of FBI Director James Comey. Based on your experiences, how do you think he feels right now?
Probably feels pretty good. Probably happy to get out of there. I can tell you that it was an interesting experience for me, and I enjoyed the experience. Actually, it's interesting perspective that you have on the world. Now that he's become the president of the United States, it really kind of changes the way you look at the big picture, having been fired by the president. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of, absurdity surrounding this subject, and it's an outrageous year in politics. And I try not to, dive in too deep in the partisan world of political commentary. I'm not taking sides too much on stage, although I do kind of lean in one direction. But I do want my show to be funny for everybody, including people that supported my old boss.
it definitely seems like something that's far more at home with one of your movies for you to be fired by Donald Trump, the president, than what we would have thought is to be a reality these days.
Yeah, well, the world is a crazy place, isn't it? And And I think that's kind of what I love about doing stand-up comedy is, you know, there's so many absurdities and outrageous sort of things to comment on in life that are, you know, equally absurd and strange. But the fact that this is something that everybody's talking about right now is interesting for sure.
So you've had an incredibly varied career. You've obviously film, TV, stand-up comedy, rap, all sorts of things. What's been your favorite job to have? What's the most fun to do?
I mean, I'm not just saying this. Stand-up comedy is definitely the most fun thing to do. It is definitely more fun than making a movie or making a television show. I enjoyed those things very much and had so much fun making the Tom Green Show and making Freddy Got Fingered and Road Trip and some of the other films that I did. But the thing about stand-up comedy is you're right there in front of the audience and you're getting that feedback from the crowd, and it's exhilarating, and there's an adrenaline rush, and I love it. So for sure, you know, that I'm going to be having a good time on stage.
Yeah, you must be very grateful to the kind of cult following that you've got from, your name is very well recognized. When I first heard that there's an opportunity to interview you, I instantly knew who you were, which isn't necessarily the case for a lot of Canadian comedians coming over to the UK. So you must be very appreciative of that cult following that you've gathered.
Yeah, you know, I feel very fortunate. I mean, I worked very hard on the Tom Green Show for many years on a public access station, and it got picked up by MTV in New York City, and I moved to New York City in 1999, and they broadcast my videos that I'd made all around the world for many, many years, and which led to the films that were put out all around the world, and so many people that, you know, I never even imagined would have seen my show, have seen the show and know the show and love the show. Then along comes the internet, and it's breathed new life into all of that material. You'll watch a lot of it on TomGreen.com, a lot of it's on YouTube and all sorts of places online. But so I've got a whole new group of fans, people who are discovering the old shows for the first time. And then on top of that, I've been touring and doing stand-up for the last 7 or 8 years, and pretty much relentlessly touring around America and the world, really, and you know, all over the world. And you know, so that online there's lots of people in the stand-up comedy world now who know what I do as a stand-up comedian and come out and only know me from that. So it's sort of been interesting, you know, doing this as long as I've done it. I picked up fans all over the place and all over throughout the years from various things. And, you know, I try to make everything I do, you know, just, you know, it's coming from me. It's my humor. It's my perspective, my point of view. And so I think people that, you know me from Freddy Got Fingered or the Tom Green Show love my stand-up, and people that, know me from, you know, different things, and then they come over and see my stand-up, love the stand-up. So it's been great. And I, you know, frankly started doing stand-up again because I wanted to go interact with my fans around the world. I was doing an internet television show, which is another thing I did, and early 2000s, for about 5 years, I built a TV studio in my living room, and people were watching all around the world on the internet. And, you know, when I saw the people all over the world watching my show, I said, oh, geez, you know, I want to go there. I want to take the show to them. So that's kind of what was the catalyst for me jumping back in and pursuing stand-up as aggressively as I have been.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you sort of picked up on the fact that the internet's really revolutionized the way that people sort of can get this kind of content. Do you think your career might have been different if you started off when the internet was available as it is now?
Oh, yeah, it would have been much more difficult, I think, you know, because now, you know, the reason that I was able to, you know, get my comedy seen was, you know, So much about technology, if you're interested in technology, is about timing. And I was always very forward thinking as far as, you know, with regards to technology. So when video cameras came out, I immediately went to school. I learned how to do broadcasting. I learned how to edit videos, and I made this show. But it was much more complicated to make a TV show back in 1994, you know, by yourself. You know, you had to really work to edit video and shoot video. So because I was so passionate about it, you know, when MTV picked up my show in 1999, you know, I had literally thousands of videos, you know, many hundreds of videos, you know, you know, nobody else had that much video shot back then. So it was sort of like before YouTube, when that stuff came on TV, nobody had ever seen that kind of guerrilla video show done really quite to that extent, where there was just that much material. You know, there'd always been hilarious guerrilla videos and, you know, on the street videos around, which were inspiring to me as well. But to have a show that was on every week that was just, you know, like that was new. And so that's why it stood out so much. I mean, the show was completely outrageous and surreal and probably weirder than most things on YouTube today, for sure. If you go watch some of the clips on TomGreen.com, I think you'll see for yourself it's a pretty strange point of view as well. So when you combine those two things together, I think that's why the show took off. And I think today, you know, it's much more difficult because not only are there so many, it's so easy to make the video itself, but then people are also, you know, trying to replicate things that they've seen before, and there just sort of ends up being harder to kind of really stand. You know, when people are doing pranks on YouTube today, it's like, well, you know, there's a million pranks you can go watch. But when I went and painted pornography on my parents' car and called it the Slutmobile, I mean, that was the only prank that was being pulled on somebody's parents. You know, there was no other prank on someone's parents, you know, where a guy was pranking their parents. Now you can see hundreds of people doing that. So that's probably why I'm touring the UK right now is timing. And, you know, I'm happy that I was able to start the show when I did. The other thing is, you know, like television has got so much less of an impact now than it did. And so when my show was on MTV, I mean, it was everybody was watching MTV. Now when you put something up on YouTube, I mean, you know, it's not everybody's watching every video on YouTube, but everybody was watching every show on MTV in 1999 in America. So, you know, it was a good time to be on MTV for sure.
Yeah, you were really, really hit the peak of MTV, I suppose. I've got quite a sort of selfish question. So you're also, in your spare time, an interviewer. What tips do you have for me in the future, just for future interviews?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've done a lot of interviewing. I did my internet show and lots of different talk shows. And I'm not doing that right now, but I may again do that someday. I've been enjoying doing stand-up so much. I've been not doing the interviews as much. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you can, you know, there's different opinions about it. I personally like to do a lot of research. You know, others say they don't, but I personally like to do a lot of research. I like to know as much as I can about the person I'm talking to. And fortunately today, there's so many places to get that information. Now, I'd say that as somebody that, not as an interviewer, but somebody that gets interviewed all the time, the thing that's most annoying when you're getting interviewed is when people ask you questions in the exact same order as they appear on your Wikipedia page. You know, it sort of sometimes feels like, and it's obvious to the person being interviewed. For instance, like it says on my Wikipedia page that I was born in Pembroke, Ontario. So whenever I go on a radio show and the radio host says, "So you're from Pembroke, Ontario," I know that he basically read my Wikipedia page 5 minutes before I walked in the room, and he has absolutely, you know, no idea what he's going to talk to me about. So he's just kind of rhyming off the Wikipedia page, and that can be you know, annoying, and I think it makes you sort of shut down a little bit as a guest. Obviously, you know, you want to listen to the guest, and you don't want to try to compete with the guest. If you're on television, you know, or on the radio, you don't want to try to talk more than the guest. A lot of times, people don't understand that because they get into broadcast interviewing because they want to be the center of attention themselves, and then they have a comedian on and talk over them the whole time, where you really want to sit back and let the guest shine. So I'd say those are some important things.
Okay. I feel like a lot of that I'm doing now, so hopefully I'll take that as a sort of subliminal compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked your last question.
Oh,
I haven't been asked that one, before.
Well, that
so
was
that's
actually...
pretty good considering I do thousands of interviews.
That's actually going to lead me on to my next question, which is, so you're obviously going to get asked all the time about Freddie Got Fingered as a mass cult following. You've got sort of your marriage to Drew Barrymore gets brought up a lot. And so your Wikipedia page is fairly... it's fairly sort of comprehensive. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but I was wondering if you had anything you've ever done, any work that you've got that you wanted to draw attention to that you think isn't sort of as well known as some of those more more well known aspects of your career.
Well, absolutely. What I'm doing now, I've been touring doing stand up comedy for 10 years or so now, maybe a little less than 10 years, full time. Started doing stand-up when I was, a teenager, almost 30 years ago. So, I would like, more attention be paid to my stand-up as it's slowly growing and people are starting to understand that I'm a stand-up comedian and that's what I do now. But I often will get people say, oh, he does stand-up. I didn't know he did. You do stand-up. I didn't know you do stand-up. So, which is actually kind of cool, actually, because it's fun to be able to surprise people when they come to the show, not expecting to see sort of a very, just a hilarious and polished and nuanced comedy show. So I want people to know more about that. And, as far as, I work on music. I am working on a funny sort of comedy, musical comedy album right now that's going to come out next year. I've done some music over the years, but this is going to be a lot of fun too. I'd say for the most part, I just, let people know about these stand-up shows and that'll be good.
So it's a world tour. Do you change your set as you go around the world, or have you sort of polished an act, or not polished, but you've got an act and that act is something that you're taking around the world?
There's so much improv involved in my show. I sort of weave material and jokes in and out of improvised moments, and I do a lot of interaction with the audience, and I try to pick up things locally. When I enter a city, I talk to people, I find out what's funny about the city, what's going on, and I try to talk about that. So it's definitely an evolving show that changes every night. I have jokes and material and observations that I weave into the show that, I can sort of, determine whether they will work in one place and not another place. So it's not like I get up on stage and just sort of start at the beginning and end at the end and it's the exact same thing every night, I think, when you do that, certainly when I started doing comedy, that's what you would do is, when you didn't have the confidence to go off script and just improvise, it can get very repetitive for the performer, and then it's not as much fun for the audience because they can sort of tell that's what's happening. So it's definitely, it's what you said. It does change depending on where I am.
So where on the world tour are you most looking forward to going? And don't say Nottingham because I know that you're lying.
Well, I am looking forward to going to Nottingham. I'm looking forward to going all throughout the UK because I am, of, Irish and English ancestry. And I feel like it's a little bit of going back to my roots to be able to go tour around the country in England and Ireland and places that I've never been that I've always imagined. So that's exciting, actually, for me, and personally a fulfilling thing. I am going to Israel on this trip. I've never been there. That should be, quite an amazing trip. I'll be there for 4 or 5 days in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, and That's going to be pretty incredible. So I always like going places I've never been before. So that's going to be, you know, I like to be able to, for whatever reason, I like to be able to say I've been there. So I've gotten to go to some pretty incredible places over the years in my career. I performed stand-up comedy in Afghanistan and in Iraq for the U.S. military, and I've performed, you know, all over Australia and Canada and the U.S. and been at the Edinburgh Comedy Festival before. I performed at Greenwich in London before the Greenwich Comedy Festival. So anytime I'm in a city that I've never been in before, I'm having a good time. And I'm having a good time when I've been in a city that I've been in before too. But there's just an extra layer of curiosity coming from me.
Oh, good. So you're always having a good time, by the sounds of it.
I am. I try to keep positive.
Oh, that's a very positive note to end on. Tom Green, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. You're going to be on at the Glee Club in Nottingham. You can get tickets at glee.co.uk. Thank you very much for talking to us at URN.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Great talking to you. I'll see you there.
Yeah, good luck in the tour.
All right. Cheers, mate.
Bye.
This is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.